Good morning. I'm the thing standing between you and lunch, so I'm going to try real hard not to drag out too long. But I just wanted to tell you that I am not like these other folks in that I do not have the same depth of knowledge and understanding. What I am is your classic public health nurse working in communities in Baltimore. And I find that my whole understanding of the world has grown exponentially because of the work I've done with Barbara and Katie and so many others. But I don't have that background. I do lots of other things, and I will probably never have that level of knowledge and understanding. But I have a responsibility to the people I serve and the communities where I work, and I have a goal to build a bridge between these two things. And so in our talk today, I really wanted to ask everybody to step back into their role as a sort of generalist public health nurse and just travel down that pathway with me and recognize that you don't ever have to be able to pronounce those big, fat, long scientific terms, that you really have to be able to go into somebody's home and say, man, I've got to figure out, help this family figure out what's in their house and what is important for them to understand and what kinds of things they can do about them. So the point of this presentation is to walk in the shoes of a generalist public health nurse that is at work in the community and link each of us to tools and resources that can make us appear to be as knowledgeable and skilled. No relationships, what can I say? Although I must say, as I look around the room, I got relationships with lots of people in this room, and it's really a pleasure, and I want to thank many of you because you've been the sources of a lot of my information. I want to say that as a practicing public health nurse, that the precautionary principle serves as the foundation for absolutely everything we're doing. And I think if you think about the pieces that both Barbara and Katie presented, that if we operate from that premise, we will be doing much just by bringing that knowledge to everyone. The other thing is, I believe as public health nurses, we try very hard, and I refer back to Barbara's statements about the trust people hold in us. And 2 years ago, many of the people in this room were involved in a process to develop environmental health principles for public health nurses. So I have listed them here because when I work with students, this becomes a part of every class I teach, that when we talk about environmental health, they want to get right to the meat of things, which you certainly heard about from Katie and Barbara. But I ask everyone to revisit doing what we do in the right way for the right reasons, and this brings us to this. And I want to make a particular acknowledgement of Lil Mood, because Lil wrote the foreword for it. We have a multi-page document, but this work and a lot of the work all of us are doing are based on the Institute of Medicine Committee on Environmental Health and Nursing that was chaired by Lil Mood. And so this work in no small measure emanates from the work that you did, so thank you. Again, if you want to come by the University of Maryland booth, we have all of these on a bookmark. So feel free, and you can also download them from the Public Health Nursing Section website. But I just wanted to ground all of this great work in real everyday life. And for me, it's here. This is a community in Southwest Baltimore. It is a very disadvantaged community. It is about 48% African American, 48% Caucasian, and 2% Asian, and a little mix of others in there as well. This is a community that has a hugely industrial history. It's right in the foothills, if you will, right down a little decline from the roundhouse of the Baltimore B&O Railroad, and right now we're right in the shadow of Camden Yards and Baltimore Ravens Stadium. Now I have to do a little aside and say, go Phillies. Sorry, I come from Philly. Have to just make that little aside there. But there is so much going on in this community, and the community is not benefiting from these great new stadiums that are there in the way that everyone thought they might. And they struggle every day with contaminated soil in significant ways. I myself now live in this community and live on a brownfield. And so it is a subject that is of great importance to me personally as well. But it's a wonderful town that has a vibrancy and a commitment and a history that is really fun. I will just take it aside and say the name of this community comes from the days when the pigs were brought in to the roundhouse at the B&O Railroad Station and offloaded and were being sent to the slaughterhouses in South Baltimore. And they ran through the streets. It's a little community with lots of row houses, and people would wisely run to their basements, open their windows, and grab pigs as they ran running by, and that was their meat for the winter. So it's a very colorful place and a lot of fun. This gives you a little sense of what it looks like, and we have many assets, and this park up here, Carroll Park, is a really big piece of that. And to Barbara's point, many trees have been planted in Pigtown, and we are very fortunate to have as a really great partner a man by the name of Gary Letteron, who has been singularly responsible for the planting of a lot of those trees. What we've done in this part of Baltimore is create a service learning initiative on the part of the University of Maryland School of Nursing. We call it V3, which stands for Healthy People, Healthy Homes, Healthy Communities. H3. I just had a conversation with someone about something else, so apologize for that. But this is the work that we're doing, and we are really excited about doing this. Many of our students have an experience, and I just want to acknowledge that we even had a guest from UCSF this summer, and we're bringing in and from New York City this summer who have joined us in our efforts. So we're looking forward to having this grow. But this work takes place in the form of many collaborative partnerships, and we work with these organizations. We don't have a space there. We actually use the space of others that are there and convey this message. And I just want to lay a little groundwork, because many of you work in communities very much like this with those same kinds of partners. And it is through these partnerships that we are raising awareness about environmental health. We're providing opportunities to educate either their kids or their staffers or whoever. And it's been a really wonderful experience for us. But I think more than anything, that as public health nurses, as I said, we want to do the right thing, but we want to do it in the right way. And true collaboration is a set of steps that requires true commitment. It requires resources, because you have to really invest in communications and the time, and even such things as food. I always like to mention food, because you can't have a good collaborative meeting without food. So I really wanted to share with everyone that all these good things that we're recognizing as being needed, all those ideas we have for change, if we just impose those on people or stand in front as the sage from the stage, it's not going to happen, and it certainly isn't going to happen in the ways that we would really like to have them occur, which means that we are partners for all time. We want those relationships to endure. So I would like to propose that these are the steps that everyone engage in as they go forward. So every one of those people that were in those circles, every one of those organizations, we work with this way. We take our time. We don't try to make the change happen tomorrow, but we recognize that we're going to have a partnership for a long time. And so these are the steps that we go through for all of this, these six steps. And we start with where they are, not with where we think they need to be. And we begin at that point and move forward from there. So, next, I'm going to move along, and this is a somewhat incomplete copy. I realize I printed out an early version, so I apologize. But this is the tool, and the inside the tool is some of those things I've just mentioned to you, but also there are hyperlinks to many of the resources that both Barb and Katie talked about and some others. We have four great tools today. We have Barbara's tool on hospitals, we have Katie's tool on prenatal assessment, we have a tool from Allison Davis on the home environmental assessment, and we have one from Robin Gilden, who has developed one for use in the broader community. And therefore, I got to follow in their footsteps, learn from each of them, and try to connect everyone to absolute resources. I mean, if we're going to go in and assess and we talk a little bit, we have to make sure that we don't just leave people saying, okay, now I'm very mindful of the fact that radon's a really bad thing, that I need to do something about lead, but give them some some real guidance. And all the nurses that we work with may not necessarily know all of those, know where to go, how to make use of it. And most of us don't have time to do the real research involved in figuring all of this out. I don't think I know anyone who has not enough to do at work anymore. So the purpose of this is to help us do that. So we have, in the tool that's going around, it's a table, and it addresses each of these things. People, in which you will find Katie's tool about prenatal health, because it's organized around the life cycle. Homes, schools, workplaces, faith-based organizations, and communities. And inside of each page, each is on one page in the tool, I have a column that talks about practices and products that you need to consider. Then I think, as Barbara so clearly mentioned in hers, that we do all of this work, obviously not ourselves, but in partnership with folks like EPA, like folks with Healthcare Without Harm, the Environmental Working Group. So many organizations are doing great work, and we can use that. So we have listed who makes good partners in this work. And I have to tell you, all the ones that are listed would welcome phone calls and communications from all of you. And then finally are the linkages to the tools and resources themselves. So I'm going to race through this and keep an eye on the time because I can go on forever. Okay, people, these are very similar, so I'm going to fly through these. But we have organized the practices and products according to risks across the life cycle. So personal history, personal behavior, substances, occupation, hobbies and recreation, as Barbara mentioned, and travel. These are the advocates and experts that we look to for partnerships in this work. And so in the tool will be links to all of the websites of all of those potential partners for all of you. And then finally, there will be links to each of the major categories in each tool. This is the one for people across the life cycle. And I highlighted Katie's because it's such a great tool, and I'm so happy to have it because we're doing a major maternal child health initiative in Pigtown as we speak, and I have a graduate student working hard on that, and she is thrilled, by the way, I might add. And I just want to make a point. In everything we do, Katie's pictures were so wonderful with those beautiful babies, and I just wanted to mention that I think if we organize our thoughts around this, the most vulnerable of our beings, everything we will do will be most likely to protect everyone in the community. And this is just a sample page of what the resources are. They're grouped according to, because some of us work with specific populations. We work just with kids. We work just with pregnant moms. We work with people in the schools. And so we've tried to organize it in such a way that it will be useful to you. So that's just a sample. I did not include all these in here. This is in the home, same sort of thing. We've organized it, and you'll start to see some similarities among all of these, but there are all kinds of tools and resources very specific to these places. So these are the things that we are concerned about in the home, and again, Barbara alluded to a lot of this. These are the partners that we can use, and again, they are having a growing recognition of nurses as great partners, and trust me, these are not people who even thought about nurses at all, other than somebody to look after their sick family member. And it is very exciting, I think, for all of us. I just want to make a particular note. Barbara mentioned the National Library of Medicine. I want to encourage everyone to think about building a new best friend in the form of a medical librarian. We have a wonderful relationship. Her name is Meredith Solomon. The University of Maryland Library is not just a university library. It is a public library for residents of the state of Maryland. And they have just reorganized, and Meredith Solomon is now the outreach librarian. She travels around the state, and she makes it possible for us to go after grants that will help serve people. She also is there. If I'm going into Pigtown, for instance, we have the Pigtown Festival every year. It's a great place where, believe it or not, we have people sign up if they're interested in having us come and make a home visit to conduct an environmental home assessment. We got rained out this year. It wasn't so successful. Hurricane Hannah decided to visit the very day of the festival, but cross your fingers for next year. But again, Meredith comes with us now because she is really helpful in helping bridge our way of doing things to unbelievable opportunities on the internet. Again, this is tools for homes inside and out, and I highlighted in green Allison Davis's tool because, again, that is one of the tools that we're passing around today. And schools, again, much the same. You'll see these start to look very familiar. But again, there is probably more work being done in schools than almost any other arena. It's very exciting. So that's a rich area. Again, these are the things that we look for in the schools. Workplace, some similarities because we're talking about buildings and grounds and people who occupy them. But we have special partners that reflect the focus of what we're doing. Hospitals, I just wanted to mention hospitals because Barbara and a whole team of people at the Environmental Health Education Center have a Maryland H2E grant, which is Hospitals for a Healthy Environment, working with to green hospitals across the state of Maryland. They've been incredibly successful. They've already started to win all kinds of awards. And as public health nurses, we have a responsibility to reach out to the hospitals. I doubt if there's a hospital nurse in here, but I will tell you that we know that hospitals are workplaces, and we think about it from that point of view, as well as the fact that they are part of the larger public health system. So Barbara's tool in that regard is going to be enormously helpful to all of us. Faith-based organizations are some of the best places to begin to start this work because they have a commitment to stewardship. It is remarkable how effective the work that is done by congregations of all faiths around all of this, and they start with the notion of environmental stewardship, and it is a very compelling message for their members. And there are opportunities at multiple faiths. So the tools, however, I might add, are probably pretty much the same. So I want you to know, though, that it's really helpful to know that there are such things, and those are the elements that we're looking at. And then, of course, in the broader community, which is the world in which I am in, and we talk about the built environment, the infrastructure, food supply and safety, and much more. And these are some of the resources. And again, I wanted to come back to Robin Gilden's tool on the larger environment, and she is she has been enormously helpful to all of us. She was really instrumental in pulling us all together for this session, and I want to acknowledge her. She wasn't able to be with us today, but I also want to tell you that she's developed an evaluation tool that we will make available to all of you as well for using the various tools that we're presenting today. So if you want to download these tools, because it's meaningless for me to pass out a paper copy, you can't click on it. So Barbara's going to come back and talk to you a little bit about a very exciting new project at Maryland. But in the meantime, I wanted to make sure you all had this. I want you to wait 1 week till we all get home, because I have to tell you, I was scrambling because a couple of new things came up just as I mean, it's not like we haven't met and talked about this, but even you know, we were all playing with our slides right up until now. So there's a few things I already want to add. So if you will give us 1 week, you can, in fact, go onto the EnviRN website and be able to download all these tools. And as Barbara said, they're works in progress, so we'll be tinkering and adding to these all the time. The other thing I would like to do is talk with the public health nursing section and see if there's a way we can also make them available through the section website. It's just another avenue for dissemination of information. And with that, I want to thank you all, because everyone in this room is an incredible colleague, and I really, really appreciate your time. And I think that's it. Oh, there is a sign-up sheet, I think Barbara mentioned, to the EnviRN website, so that we gave you that information.